Welcome to St Andrew's Abbotsford. And what a beautiful way to start the new year, worshipping God together. For the benefit of those who are listening in later, Happy New Year to you as well. And assisting us in the service today are musos Sam, Trevor and Rosemary. Tina will be praying and Diane will be doing the Bible reading for us. Trevor will be preaching. And our hope is that this service will be a great blessing for you. So let's just have a quiet moment, being still before our Maker, and I'll lead us in a prayer to start our time together. Heavenly Father, you long for those who worship you to worship you in spirit and truth. By your Spirit, please enable us to do that today in a way that brings you honour and continues to build up the body of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The God who Christians worship is a great God. And it's beautiful. The Psalms remind us that one generation commends his works to another, as we continue to do week by week here. So please stand as we join together in saying Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom
and speak of your might,
so that all people might know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. The God who we worship is a holy God. May we delight in singing about him together.
Thank you. and make every key bow down. Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God.
Christians have a great high priest who has already passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus' disciple John reminds us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The main theme today of today's sermon is that people thought Jesus was lost, but he came to save the lost. He would seek and save them. And what a great comfort that is.
I'll just pray for us before we hear from the Bible today. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's passage is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 51. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. It's good to see you all, especially those who are listening in that I can't see you. I'm sure you're listening in. It's great to have fellowship with you as well, those who are at home or listening in. Would you mind just turning to the people around you, COVID safely, and saying, the Lord be with you and also with you. God bless you. Save those at home. It's good just to acknowledge that we're all here. And thanks. It's wonderful. Great. Wonderful. Well, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and or you inside your bulletin, you'll have the Bible passage printed out for you as well. As Diane has prayed, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. You make yourself known to us through your word, who you are and what you've done for us, that we might be certain of the things that we have been taught. Please again help me to teach your word correctly today. May we experience your Holy Spirit guiding us into truth as we read and think on your word. And we ask this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we continue our Advent sermon series, though it's after Advent to some extent, you know, thinking on the theme that we might be certain of the things we have been taught. And that was the reason for why Luke wrote his gospel to Theophilus and for God to cause that for us to, the church, to read it in the years to come, that his people might be certain of the things that they have been taught about why he sent his son into the world for us. Advent is that time in the year just prior to Christmas, usually, and including Christmas, when we remember not only the first coming of Christ, but the second coming of Christ. As sure as Christ came the first time, he will come a second. And so over these last 6 weeks, we've focused on those stories from Luke's gospel that covered Jesus' early childhood. And will continue through his life, through the gospel of Luke, up to Easter, Lord willing. We've been introduced to the one who would prepare his way, John, the one who'd be the baptizer, born of Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. We've also been introduced to Jesus, the announcement of his birth to both Mary and to Joseph by the angel, the excitement of Elizabeth and Mary together as they think on this child and their children to be born. And the time of his birth, Christ's birth, and his presentation at the temple, being seen by the elderly Simeon and the prophet Anna, and knowing that it's wise to wait on the faithfulness of God to fulfill his word. We've asked the question, why are these early childhood stories of Jesus in our Bibles? So what are we meant to learn? And so we've focused on their accounts, on Luke's account, and the reason for why he's included them in his gospel. So far we've learned God's plan has always been to become one of us in Christ. God's plan has always been to become one of us in Christ, to identify with us in every way, yet without sin, that we might be assured of our salvation by the one who has accomplished it for us, both truly human and truly divine. We have been reminded too that the time came for the Christ to be born, and in fulfillment of the scriptures, he was born, and people recognized him as the promised Christ, the King, who was to come into the world and to save the world. So this morning we turn to Luke's gospel. We'll turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through to 52. And if you look there at verse 12 to start with, Jesus is traveling with his parents and others from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now you'd be familiar with the Passover. The Passover was the time when God's people remembered when they were once slaves in Egypt and under the bondage of being in slavery and were miraculously rescued by God's rescuer, Savior, under the leadership of Moses and taken to the land that God had promised to them. Luke tells us this is something that Mary and Joseph and his family and Jesus regularly did. And Jesus is around about the age of about 12. We're not certain about what time it was. But every year, this was something his family did. And on this occasion, unbeknown to Joseph and Mary, Jesus remains in Jerusalem when they all leave. We find this hard to understand. How could you lose a child? All right, but there's a large crowd of family together, most likely relatives, and everyone had different responsibilities. But Jesus, we're told, remains in Jerusalem and is found by them 3 days later, seated with the temple teachers in discussion. And those who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The reason Luke includes this story in his gospel, I take it, is that we might be certain that Jesus knew what? That Jesus knew from a very early age who he is and what he'd come into the world to do. And so that we might also know that certainty as well and take heart. Have you ever been lost? Have any of you been lost at all? All right. You might know that feeling of absolute... I'm just talking about can't find your directions, all right? You can press a button now on your car, all right? I love the little button, home. And Serena guides me home. But if you've been lost... are truly lost in somewhere, and that whole feeling of where am I, what's happening, how do I get out of this stuck in situation. Some of you may have lost a child and found the child. Some who may be listening in here, and we're very mindful of you, may have lost a relative or a child and have never been able to find them, and that ache and that pain is there still with you. We grieve with you. I remember a time when we found Jonathan, after this, as I start this, but we lost Jonathan when he was about four. I think he was about four, he was three. It was around about this time of the year, New Year's Day, when our church had gathered together for a picnic down at Stanwell Park. It was a horrible feeling. There were lots and lots of people around, and we were with the church having a barbecue, and all of a sudden we realised that Jonathan wasn't around. And it happened so quickly, really, really quickly. And we were preoccupied. We were looking, we took our eyes off him and thought he was with others, and then he was just gone. And there was a creek nearby, the ocean was not that far away, lots of people were around. And I remember the immediate sense of panic that overwhelmed me, the irrational panic of not worrying about what anybody thought of you as you screamed out his name running through the crowd, calling out for Jonathan, where are you, where are you? Looking around the area where we were, then all of a sudden we ran up to the kiosk. This all seemed to be taking minutes, but it was really seconds. You know, things. We ran up to the kiosk, and what he'd done, he'd simply followed all the other children to get an ice cream from the kiosk. And there he was at the bottom of the counter, looking up, hoping that someone would get him an ice cream. And adults looking at him, thinking, who is this child? Whose child does this belong to? Whose child is this? It's the question I assume the temple teachers and the others who heard him in discussion with them amazed at Jesus' understanding. They must have thought this of Jesus. Whose child is this? And it's the question I take it Luke wants us to be thinking over ourselves as we read through his gospel. Whose child is this? That we might be certain of what that means for us. Again, there are a number of questions of this story Luke doesn't answer, and that's not important, really. Like Matthew's gospel, or the accounts of the early accounts of childhood of Jesus, not all the answers are told to us there. We're left to speculate, but not to let them hijack and steal from us what the writer Luke intends for us to focus on and be certain of. Whose child is this? On the third day, just imagine ourselves there looking in. On the third day, Mary and Joseph turn up back in Jerusalem in the temple courts, and there they find Jesus sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking and engaging in the answering of questions. Look there at what Luke records there and wants us to focus on first importance upon their arrival and discovery. Look there at verses 47 and 48. Luke first wants us to focus on the reaction of those who had been listening to Jesus and that of his parents. Luke first wants us to focus on the reaction of those who had been listening to Jesus and that of his parents. Those who had been listening, verse 7, what were they? They were amazed. Okay, they were amazed. How can this be? Who is this child? And his parents, what are they? They are astonished. All right, they are astonished and anxious. Three A's, all right? Amazed and astonished and anxious. Now put yourselves in the situation of those who had been listening in, on those who were amazed at Jesus' answers, the temple teachers and others that may have been gathered around listening in. Would we not, upon seeing Joseph and Mary turn up, thought, is this your child? Is this your child? You know, Rosemary and I, our children are all adults now, and we've got grandchildren. That doesn't make you feel old now when you have we've got great-grandchildren. Here we go. Each unique are our children and different in from the other. We can say that there were occasions when we felt very, very proud of them. And because another adult has come up to us and told us, who didn't know us and were impressed with our children and said something like, you know, is this your child? You know, is this your child? Mind you, when they were two and going through the terrible twos, and they did their normal little routines, like Terrible Twos 2 in the shopping centre or Woolworths, there were many occasions where Rosemary and I would look at each other and say, is this your child? No, I've never seen him before in all my life. I wonder whose child he is, and just walk off to the side of the car. Now let us put ourselves in the situation of Joseph and Mary. Luke tells us they were astonished and anxious. Astonished is not the same as amazed, all right? Astonished, verse 48. Son, why have you treated us like this? All right, that is astonished, all right? And those of us who have lost a child and or lost someone and may well have everything within us is crying out like that within us. What were they saying? Don't you know who we are? We are your parents. Why have you treated us like this? Why did you wander off and stay in Jerusalem? And anxious, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And here, what were they saying? You are our child. We are responsible for you. I take it Luke is wanting his readers to hear whose child people thought Jesus is. Those amazed and his parents, Joseph and Mary's child. Our Lord's reply in verse 49 is profound. Look there at verse 49. Profound for the age he was, but more so in his self-awareness of who he is, in his understanding of his identity and his responsibility that came with that. Not only that, making it known in the context in which he knew he was in. Where was he? He was in the temple where sacrifices are made, the Lamb of God. Being lost and now found. Verse 49. Why were you searching for me? Jesus answers them. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house or about my Father's business? Why were you searching for me? Why is this strange to you that I'm here? Jesus is not questioning the parental responsibility to search for him, or that he doesn't understand, you know, why they would. But it does seem at first reading that Jesus is ignorant and a little rude on Jesus' part. It seems that. But imagine if your child or grandchild or child you were responsible replied to you in that way, and you'd think that way too at first hearing. But Jesus was not ignorant. Jesus was not being rude. What he did in his reply was to help his parents to remember. Remember what the angel had told his mother, Mary, about what this child. To remember what Anna and Simeon had just recently, you know, some years before, had reminded them about this child. And also to help us to remember as readers that Mary and Joseph were not his parents. He was God's child. He was God's son, and they were responsible for his upbringing like parents. And he'd come to do his Father's business. Not Joseph's, not Mary's, but God the Father's business, the Son replies. A key verse in Luke's gospel, of which Luke hangs his whole gospel on, I take it, is Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Each of the gospels does have a summary little verse in it, we found, so as to remind us of the reason for why the gospel writer wrote it. Luke 19, verse 10 is that of Luke's. It comes at the end of the story of Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus, the tiny little man who climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, all right? And the tax collector, Jesus gathers him and goes back to his home, has a meal with him, and Zacchaeus is changed by the way in which this lost man had found God and gently, in his way, helped him to find God. Jesus tells us what his Father's business is in that little summary verse at the end of that story. That the Son of Man, the Son of God, had come to seek and to save the lost. Profoundly, in his reply to his mother and father, in this story, Jesus reminds all of us that in the greater plan of God, our Lord Jesus at this time was not lost. Mary and Joseph were lost. The people he was talking to in the temple were lost. Those listening in were lost. All people were lost. You were lost. I was lost. And Jesus, in God's time in history, came amongst us. And from a very early age, he knew that he'd come to seek and to save the lost. He'd come to seek and save Mary. He'd come to seek and save Joseph. He'd come to seek and save the priests and the people in the temple he was discussing with. He'd come to save those who were listening in and gathered around, those whom he would come in contact with, those who would hear the gospel down through the years. He'd come to seek and to save you and me from a very early age. It was not their responsibility to seek and save the lost. It was his responsibility. And he willingly knew it from a very early age, knowing what it would cost him that he would seek and save us. Why were you searching for me? Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? I had to be in my Father's house. I have to be here. In that statement too, he's saying, I have to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knows what's ahead. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And I gather Luke wants us to think the same question. Do I need to remind myself that he'd come to do his Father's business for me and for you? Such as his mercy, such as his love, such as his courage, such as his desire to have us in fellowship with him forever. And it's interesting that this story is set at the time of remembering and celebrating what time of the year? Passover. Jesus knew from a very early age who he is and what he'd come to do. He'd come to seek and to save the lost. Whose child is this? This is God's child. He is not lost. We are the ones who were lost and have been found. We thank God this day that Jesus, you came and to seek and to save us who were lost and have now been saved. We praise you, God, that in Christ alone we are no longer lost but found. You knew that this was your Father's business right from a very early age, and you still went to that cross and resurrection for us. We thank you. We thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.
Let's just take a quiet moment now to remember who Jesus is and treasure all these things in our heart. Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, but he is also our living hope because he has been raised from the dead. And so if you know that God has saved you, let's make a joyful noise in our next song after we say what we believe. Let's stand and say this first. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now it's time to make a joyful noise together.
Be seated. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray together this prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We'll be continuing in further prayer together. Almighty and ever-living God, we praise you for who you are. Sovereign over all, holy and loving. Thanks, glory and honour belong to you for your kindness and compassion in sending Jesus to earth to give his life and rise again so that we might know you, giving us the hope of a firm future. We give you thanks for the gospel. We give you thanks for your presence and power of your Holy Spirit for the whole world. We bring before you our world, O Lord, in chaos, disarray, friction, our concerns and cares for the pain as well, Lord. We particularly think of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, which seems to be continually here to challenge us and to create uncertainty for everyone. We pray for all nations that the grief, uncertainty, frustration of people would lead people to seek you amidst this crisis. We thank you, Lord, for health workers, nurses and doctors, but we also ask that, Lord, you would care for them through this difficult time. We thank you for those in authority making decisions. We pray for all of them to be given health, strength, and wisdom in all the decisions for the common good of all. May you help all people to navigate the restrictions in order to live their lives in harmony and consideration of others. Pray that, Lord, that wealthy nations would be generous to the poorer countries, making available the resources and medications needed to support the people there. We look to you, O Lord, for you have all the answers. You have all the provision. We look to you, O Lord, for the famines around the globe. We ask for supplies, relief, and for compassion of help from people and nations to help those in need. We pray for the oppressed, the refugees, the poor, the distressed, and the grieving. So many people are suffering, O God. So many people are longing for relief and help. We ask that you would help them, comfort them. And we think of those with disasters that have just happened, such as the fires in the USA, Philippines with cyclones and floods, and so many other lands that have had these disasters, Lord, that are still struggling, still not coping. So many places in conflict, unstable government, and neglect of the people. We ask, O Lord, for help for all in these circumstances. But we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them, to draw them closer to you, to understand you, to know Jesus. For without you, Lord, there is no hope. We also think of our brothers and sisters in other lands throughout the world who are sadly neglected because of their faith, who are sadly persecuted for their faith. We ask that their persecutors would have changed hearts to accept Jesus as their Lord, and believers to find strength, comfort, and determination to stand firm in their faith. We ask for your help to these people, O Lord, because you are the great provider of all. We trust in you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We think of the church worldwide. We pray for the church, your body of believers, O God, throughout the world. O Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you've done through Jesus to redeem people. May the word be preached faithfully, that your spirit not be quenched. but inspire and urge all to grow in Jesus. That the truth of the gospel, that the truth of your word, and the glory of what the gospel means, be a beacon to draw people to you, O Lord. We pray the churches would return to your word, to be faithful to your word and you, to seek the truth so that people may know the truth and not be lost. We give thanks for those who bring the message of Christ to others. Thanks, O Lord, so many people who are reaching out to others to know Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for their sincerity and their servants' hearts. And here in Australia, we thank you for our people here, Lord. We thank you that we have scripture teachers who are so willing to give of themselves so that children may know who Jesus really is and not just a swear word. We just pray that in New South Wales, we can continue to have scripture in schools, O God, amidst the chaos of the difficulties of COVID and the navigation. We thank you, Lord, for those who continue to help others with Anglicare. And in Anglicare with their chaplains, Lord, we thank you for those chaplains in schools, hospitals, defence forces, police forces, and in prisons. We thank you, O Lord, for their faithfulness and their commitment. We also thank you for our link missionaries, the Blairs, Retondados, Thomas family in Thailand, the Pharisees in Kunamara, and Kim Patterson in Ireland. We ask that you would please continue to provide, guide, and inspire them each day so that, Lord, they may be comforted, encouraged by you, and feel the power of your Spirit working to bring glory and honour to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you here for our church in Abbotsford. We thank you for this lovely community. We are so blessed, O God, for the way in which you've provided. We thank you that your word is preached faithfully, for provision of our needs. And Lord, thank you for each and every one in our congregation and for those who are listening now. We ask for the people among us who are lonely, sick, or who struggle with recovery, life's difficulties, for those who need comfort, encouragement, and an awareness of your love each day. Grant them, O Lord, your comfort and strength. And we also think of those particular in our congregation. We have Kay. We also have Jennifer, who's grieving still. Jean Steele, who cannot be with us physically, but who's so faithful. For Lynn and Graham Clark, Max Schweizer, and Brian Cave, we thank you, O Lord, and ask for particular strength and an awareness of your love surrounding them. May we here be thankful and give glory to you. Thank you, O Lord, that we have Trevor and Rosemary and all who serve here. May we continue to be faithful witnesses here to bring glory and honour to you. Glory and honour belong to Jesus, who with the Father are eternal. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Thank you, O Lord. May we be worthy of our calling, O God. Be faithful each day according to your word. Hallelujah. Praise God for all that he has done, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we commend these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
The set prayer for the second Sunday after Christmas. Let us pray that all mankind may be enlightened by the gospel. God of power and life, glory of all who believe in you. Fill the world with your splendor and show the nations the light of your truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Keep our nation under your care. Let your way be known on earth. Send out your light and truth. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Little bit of family business now. It's wonderful to have you all at church here today. It's a great blessing, and for those who are regular members, it would be a great help if you could fill in the sharing in ministry for this year. It takes many people to have a service run and to have a church run, and we would love to have those forms back and in the red box at the back just before the sliding doors. Men's breakfast coming at the end of this month. That's something to look forward to and put in your calendars for the Saturday, the 29th of January. And this is a bit of a big ask, really, because tomorrow is a public holiday. However, we are having a prayer meeting tomorrow between 7 and 8 p.m. And we would love you to join us for an hour of prayer and committing things to God. After the service, if you'd like prayer, Tony and I will be down the front and we would love to pray for you, whatever's happening in your life. In this year ahead, may Christ be your vision and may he be central in all that you do, say and think. So please stand for our closing hymn. Eternal God and Father, by your power we are created. By your love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May you see evidence of God's goodness in this new year and all of your life. Please join with me as we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.